Amen. Praise God. Well, you're welcome this morning, and let's turn in our Bibles to Job. We are remembering Job this morning. You know, Bible teaches us to remember the patience of Job. You know, many times we talk about the afflictions of Job, but Bible teaches us to remember the patience of Job and to see the goodness of God, how God turns things around for those that trust in him and makes the latter end of such people better than their beginning. So we can learn a lot from the account written in the scriptures concerning Job, because we're all going to go through some periods in our lives when things are contrary to us. We may not fully understand why we are going through what we are going through, but one thing we know is that God is good at all times. And what we don't understand, God does understand. And there is nothing that will come your way and my way without the knowledge of God. If contrary situations will not work the purpose of God for you and me, God will not allow them to come near us. I mean, what I'm saying is scriptural. It's not based on opinion of man. In fact, put your finger right there in Job chapter 22. And let us turn to 1 Corinthians. You see, once we understand the ways of God, we will be able to walk with him in intimacy and trust in him at all times. When the going is easy and when the going is not so easy, we will remain steadfast in our walk of faith and in our communion with God. We are not going to be flaky and keep changing every now and then like chameleon. You know, when things are fine, we sing, praise God, hallelujah, God is good. Then when things are not so fine, we stop singing. That's not the way God expects us to live as Christians. The Christian life is a lifestyle of faith, and it is consistent if we are living by the word of God. But if we are living by our feelings or leaning on our own human understanding, it will become very difficult for us to maintain a lifestyle of consistent faith, which God demands from us if we really want to please him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let us read together for the sake of context from verse 11 through to verse 13. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 to 13. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. Please underline right there in your Bible that God will not suffer. The word suffer there means permit or allow. You see? Who will not suffer? Who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear? So say to yourself, no matter what is contrary to me right now, God knows about it, and is working his purpose in my life. Amen. We have to see things from that perspective as Christians. If we all understand the ways of God, we will live this Christian life with joy. Even in the midst of trial, we'll be rejoicing. Bible says, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. Isn't that what Bible says? James chapter 1 verse 2. Bible didn't say begin to complain when you are tempted or when you are in trouble. No, God says count it all joy. Why? Because if you understand the faithfulness of God, as we just read here in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, God is faithful. That's the key. Look at it again. But God is faithful. You see, He is faithful. God is absolutely dependable on this truth that He will not allow you to be tempted more than what you can bear. So God saw the trouble before you felt it. God saw what the enemy was planning before you even felt it. And if it would not work the purpose of God, God would not even allow it to prosper against you. So every trouble that has come your way, if you understand the faithfulness of God, is going to work for your good. Put your finger right there. Turn with me also while we're in the book of Corinthians, to 2 Corinthians. You see, we need to encourage one another, particularly in these last days. We need to know our God. As Daniel said, we really need to know the God we serve, not just know about Him. We have to know God. We have to know the character, attributes of God, know His nature, know the faithfulness of God, know the love of God that never fails. Because Daniel tells us that in these last days, it is the people that do know their God, not people who know about God, not people who play church or play, you know, Christian games, but people who really have a knowledge, a revelation knowledge of the truth about God. They are the ones that shall be strong and they shall do great. Thank God, Bible says we shall do great exploits if we really know our God. And we really must know Him, because there is no excuse for ignorance. We have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit. So if we are ignorant, it is because we are not spending time in the Word of God. We are not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us the ways of God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let us read together from verse 16 to verse 18. Let's go. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Now notice again, Bible tells us here that in verse 17, our light affliction. You know, we call our troubles big troubles, but God says they are light. You know, we say, oh, my burden is too heavy. God says it's a light one. Because God didn't give you heavy burden. He gave you light burden in Christ. The devil wants you to think that you are the one carrying the weight of the whole world so that you can feel downcast. But you see, when you know the God you serve and you know the faithfulness of God, even when things are of big magnitude, contrary to you, you will be able to stand your ground in faith and dance even in the midst of the trial and tribulation, because you know the faithfulness of God, that those things are working for you, not against you. You see, they are working for you. They are working for you. God cannot lie. God didn't say they are working against you. The devil wants you to believe that those things are working against you, but God said they are working for you. And you and I also can't understand why contrary things are working for us, because it doesn't make sense. But God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. It's time for us to wake up as Christians and stop believing the lies of the devil. Everything that is contrary to you, God allowed it to get to you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, because He will not allow you to go through what you are not able to go through. And now Bible says the reason why he has allowed those things to get across to you is because they are going to work for you a far greater degree of glory beyond your understanding. See, we don't understand everything because our mind cannot comprehend the things of God. It is only when the revelation comes in our spirit that we begin to understand the dimensions of God, and we begin to see life from God's perspective, and we begin to understand that the things that we call not good may eventually be good for us. For instance, David, in Psalm 119, in one of the verses there, said, "It was good for him to have been afflicted, so that he might learn the ways of God." You understand that? In other words, it was through the afflictions that he went through that he gained the better understanding of God's ways. Many of us in the church today don't even understand the ways of God. We only know about God. We know God as the Almighty, the miracle-working God. We are like the children of old. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 7, only knew about the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. To know the acts of God means you know what God can do, but you don't really understand his heart. But when you really know the ways of God, you know the heart of God, you can see things from a different angle than others because you understand the ways of God. See, the children of God who knew the acts of God, they could not walk with God. They murmured, they complained, any little hardship, because they didn't understand the ways of God. They didn't understand why God was taking them through the long way to get to the promised land when there was a shorter route to go by. And it's the same thing in the church today. Many of us are looking for quick fix. We just want to pray one prayer for 5 minutes and see an angel appear in our room. Say, "Here am I, oh mighty man of prayer." We don't understand how to wait, how to tarry in the presence of God, and how to really trust in God even when after praying it seems nothing is happening. How to rely on the faithfulness of God, knowing that God never fails. Hallelujah. It's time for us to wake up. Say to your neighbor, it's time for us to wake up as Christians and understand things from God's perspective. Amen and amen. Now let's turn back to Job chapter 22. That's where we are going this morning. We've come to this couple of other scriptures just to lay a good background to what we are about to share this morning. It is important for us to really know the God we serve and walk with him in intimacy. This is what God demands from us. Job chapter 22. Let us read together from verse 21 down to the end. Job 22 from verse 21 to the end. Let's go. "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and it shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we all know that this is one of the friends of Job, trying to counsel Job in his affliction. But this friend of Job got it wrong. Even though what he was saying was right, the counsel was right, but it was based on a wrong assumption. You know, everything he said here is accurate in terms of walking with God, but he based it on an assumption that Job was not really walking with God, and so he's advising him to start walking with God. How many of us know that that was wrong? Job was walking with God, but the devil sought permission from God to go and try Job. Job was a righteous man, Bible says. And the devil went before God and said, well, you know, the reason why Job loves you, you know, after God asked the devil and said, well, have you considered my servant Job? There is a righteous man and there is none like him in all the land. And then the devil said to God, well, the reason why Job loves you so much is because you blessed him. If you remove the blessings, he will deny you and curse you. God said, okay, go and try him then. Go and take the blessings. I know him, you don't. I know my servant Job. So the devil went and tempted Job. I tell you, many of us, if we go through even a fraction of what Job went through, will backslide. But Job didn't backslide, did he? No, he didn't backslide. In all his afflictions, Bible teaches us that Job did not sin. Even when his wife said, curse God and die, he refused. He said, even though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. But the thing here is that even though his friend Eliphaz, who was counseling him along these lines, assumed that Job was not in acquaintance with God, that was why he was suffering all the troubles that he suffered, we can learn from what he said, because what he said is true. Even though it was not applicable to Job, we can learn from it. We can learn from it. So let's pay attention to it and see how these things can apply to our lives. Verse 21 again begins by saying, acquaint now thyself with him. In other words, acquaint yourself with God. Acquaint yourself with God. What does that mean? Well, in the Amplified Version, I'm going to read what the Amplified Version says about Job chapter 22 verse 1. We'll be able to gain an understanding of what it means to acquaint ourselves with God. The Amplified puts it this way, acquaint now yourself with him, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed to his will, and be at peace. By that you shall prosper, and great good shall come to you. So according to the Amplified Version, to acquaint yourself with God means to agree with God and to show yourself to be conformed to his will. In other words, to acquaint yourself with God is to walk with God in harmony with his will. Not doing your own will, but doing the will of God. You are walking with him as a friend, so close to him that you just want to please him. You see, God is looking for friends. Let me say that again. God is looking for friends because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He looked for a friend in Abraham's generation. He found one called Abraham. And he said, Abraham is my friend. Why? Because not only will he do my will, but he will also teach his children to follow in my ways. Is it the key? God is looking for people that will do his will, and he will call them his friends. Jesus, while he was here on earth, also looked for friends. In John chapter 15, put your finger there in Job chapter 22. Let's turn quickly to John chapter 15. You see, once we understand the ways of God, that's what we need in the church in these last days. It's not about religion. It's not about, you know, just knowing about God who performs miracles. No, we want to know God for ourselves and walk with him in intimacy, because every attribute of God will be at our disposal when we really know him. We won't be seeking God for miracles anymore. Miracles will be accompanying us everywhere we go, because the God of miracles is our friend. You know how it is in the natural. If you make friend with a rich man, you will never lack. Isn't that so? Because the rich man will be there to provide for your need, because he's your friend. So close. If you are friends with God, everything that God is and everything that God has is going to be yours. That's the key. But you know, because we don't understand that, we just look to God. Oh God, oh, I need miracle here. Oh, and then we spend hours on hand begging God to give us the miracle. But wisdom teaches us, why don't you get close enough to God, the source of the miracles, so that the miracles will be there for you at all times. Not occasionally, but at all times. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, at all times. God wants you to have it at all times, because he's such a good God. He doesn't want you to lack anything. He's your source of total supply. He will never fail you. Amen. So where are we now? John chapter 15. Thank you very much. So we are following as the Spirit is leading us. John chapter 15. Look at what Jesus said. And that's what we all need. God is no respecter of persons. Every time he finds somebody that loves to do his will, he will come and make friendship with that person, because he's looking for friends. Why? Because friends are very scarce. There are many who are called, but only few are chosen. There are many Christians in the world today, because to be a Christian is to be called. Bible tells us who we have been called. That's why we are called Christians. But out of those who are called, only a few are chosen by God himself to be his friends. Why? Because only a few are walking in the ways of God. Out of the called ones, only a few understand the ways of God. The others just know about the hearts of God. Now look at what Jesus himself said. Let us read it together. Verse 14 is where we are going. But for the sake of context, let us read it from verse 12 down to verse 15. Let's go. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, you are my friends if you do. If you do. So we can position ourselves to be friends of Jesus and friends of God the Father by making personal choices to do the will of God and not our own. It's just a question of choice. You can position yourself to be somebody that God will come to and develop personal friendship with. And I tell you, if God develops friendship with you, anyone that makes himself an enemy to you is in trouble. Because to be an enemy of the friend of God is to put yourself in trouble. Was that not what God said to Abraham? God said, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Just walk thou before me and be perfect. If you do that, I will be a friend with your friends and I will be an enemy to your enemies. In other words, Abraham, you won't need to worry about the enemy. If anybody rises up to be enemy to you, I'll take care of them for you. Just be my friend. Isn't that wonderful? Now, imagine if in the church today, we all begin to walk in those ways of intimacy with God. Don't you realize that the devil's time will be up? Because then God is going to arise for the church and be against the devil and all his cohorts more than you and I can even pray or intercede. You know, we spend, thank God, it's good to pray. We spend hours on hand praying and interceding. And we should do that. Don't get me wrong, we should do so. But don't you realize that there is a way we can rise up to the heights where even before we pray, God would have sorted out the problem? To me, that's a better way. That's a better way. And it is very scriptural, you see. Put your finger there again, turn with me to the book of Psalms. Whether we look in the old or the new, we find God who responds to those who are close to him. James also tells us, draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Isn't that so? God is no respecter of persons. So if you make a choice to acquaint yourself with God, God will become your friend and he will take care of you and also take care of all your enemies. He will take care of you to do you good. And he will take care of your enemies to really make them to be as a thing of naught, as Bible says. And all their devices against you will not prosper, because God himself will be your shield, protecting you on every side. Now look at David, who was a man after God's heart. Look at what he said here. We all know this psalm very well. We quote it so much. But I'm going to pick it from verse 4 so we can get it in a bit of context. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Psalm 27 from verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let's pause before we go on to the next verse. Now, you see how David sets the platform for friendship with God in order to reap the benefits that are available to the friends of God. Many of us want the benefits, but we don't want to pay the price. We want the benefits of friendship, but we don't want to develop the friendship with God. It's not going to work. If you don't acquaint yourself with God, don't expect to reap the benefits that God rewards those who draw close to him with. You see? Thank God we are all saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But when it comes to getting help from God, we have to individually work out our own salvation, you see. In the sense that we have to pay the price of obedience to God's instruction to see the hand of God help us in our various circumstances. If we don't, then we shouldn't expect God to do those things. Hallelujah. So say to your neighbor one more time, there's a price to pay. If you pay the price, God will do his own part because he never fails. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So where are we now? Psalm 27. Well, that's one thing we desire of the Lord. We set the platform, as Bible says, and then we can get the reward from God because we are paying the price of drawing close to him. Again, it says in verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So he's saying, well, what I desire is to just be close to God. I want to be so close to him. I want to be in his presence. I want to be with him all the days of my life. Now look at what it then says in verse 5. For in the time of trouble. See, this is a wise man. Very wise man. He understood that times of trouble will come to him. So whether we are Christians or not, troubles will come our way. Isn't that so? As long as we're in this world, we're going to have trouble. Some of us give wrong counsel to others, telling them, particularly unbelievers, say, oh, just give your life to Jesus, all your troubles will be gone. If you've been telling people that way, you better don't say that anymore. Because you are misleading them. If they come over to Jesus and they have trouble, they will backslide. Because you gave them wrong counsel. What you should say to them is that come to Jesus. When trouble comes your way, he will help you. Ah, that is good counsel. Then they know that, well, if I come to Jesus, I'll still have trouble. But then now I have somebody to help me. But if you say, when you come to all your troubles will be gone. Ah, they will backslide faster than lightning. Because the devil will just bring trouble their way. Even more than when they were without Christ. You know, the devil is very smart crook. He will give them more trouble than they had before. And they say, well, before I became a Christian, it was still manageable. Now, since I became a Christian, it's too much. Now, let me go back to the old ways. And it will be your fault because you gave them wrong counsel. So prepare them. Let them know that Christians are not exempt from trouble because Jesus himself said so. John chapter 16 verse 33, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, so that in me you may have peace, because in the world you are going to have tribulation. So he's telling his followers, in the world you are going to have plenty of trouble, but listen to my instructions so you can have peace in me. In other words, as you are in me, the trouble will not trouble you, because I will take care of those troubles for you. I'm overcoming the world for you, so be of good cheer. That is the true counsel that we should give to one another as Christians. So David was very smart. That's why he said, well, I'm going to draw close to God. I'm going to get acquainted with God. I'm going to abide in his house and get so close to him to get to know him and know his ways, so that when trouble comes, look at verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now let us read verse 6 together. Let's go. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Please underline your Bible. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. That's powerful. That's better than praying all day long to bind the enemy. When you develop acquaintance with God and you begin to walk with him in intimacy, it will put you in a place where the enemy can't even reach you. So there is no need to even be binding the enemy because they can't even get to you. To me, that is a wiser way of living. Because we are living in a trouble-filled world. And if we can get to this kind of position where the trouble can't even get to us, it will be a wonderful thing. God himself puts us in the sacred place of his pavilion. He sets us up far above the reach of our enemies. They can't even get to us. Some of us will think of that and say, can we really get there? Well, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. You can walk this earth with confidence all your days because God will fight for you at all times when you are closer to Him than you have been before. It's a question of daily desiring to know Him more and get closer to Him, just as David said here. He will do the rest. To the faithful, God said He will be faithful. Isn't that so? And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So there's a price to pay. If we pay the price, we'll get the reward. All right, let's go back to Job 22. When you get home, I would like you to study the whole passage and really meditate in it. Because as we said earlier, even though this friend of Job assumed wrongly that Job was not acquainted with God, he still said something that is accurate in terms of how God deals with people that are well acquainted with Him. So if we are acquainted with God, if we develop that harmony with His will, if we make ourselves to be friends of God and we walk in His ways, Bible says, yeah, peace will come our way. Peace will come our way. That's one of the things we are going to enjoy as friends of God. We'll have peace. Peace does not mean that there's no trouble around you. Rather, peace means that with all the trouble around you, there's no trouble inside of you. When it is okay with you on the inside, the outside will fall in line. You know, we pay much attention to the outside at the expense of the inside. But the key to having outside in line with God's will for you is to get your inside in good shape with God. Jesus said, clean the inside of the cup, the outside will be clean. Isn't that so? We shall see in a short while why Jesus said so. Because in most cases, we spend hours on hand. Again, it's good to pray when you have trouble. Pray, and ask God for help. God wants to help us. But you see, we pay much attention to the external troubles we have. But God will rather we pay more attention to the condition of our inside. Because if the condition of our inside is okay, everything on the outside will line up with God's will. Because God Himself will take care of those things. You see, God is looking on the inside of our hearts. But we are more focused on what is going on around us. But God, on the other hand, is not focused on what is going on around us. Because as far as God is concerned, those things are but little things. They are light afflictions. God rather wants our hearts to be in harmony with Him. David said in Psalm 51 that the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart He will not despise. And Bible tells us in Chronicles that the eyes of God is running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. And Samuel said unto Saul, when Saul had, you know, violated God's word and he thought there was nothing wrong with that, God said, Samuel said unto him, well, don't you understand? Obedience to God is better than sacrifice. Man is looking at the outward appearance, but God is looking in the heart. Because God taught Samuel Himself that way when He was going to anoint another person to replace Saul. God told him, well, man looks at the outward. Even you, Prophet Samuel, you are getting it wrong. But I'm looking on the inside. I know something about this boy, David, that you don't know. He's the one that I've chosen because I know his heart. So if our hearts are right in the sight of God, every other thing about us on the outside, God will take care of. Say to your neighbor, if your heart is in good shape, God will take care of everything about you. Amen. Again, to me, that's a better way of living victoriously. Because if God will be the one taking care of all the things that I'm concerned about on the outside, well, that's peace for me. Isn't that so? It means those things don't matter anymore because they're under the control of God. They will not be able to trouble me. So peace will come your way. That's one of the things you are going to enjoy when you are acquainted with God. Peace will come, and also good things will come your way. In verse 21, thereby good shall come unto you. How many of us love good things? We love good things. We pray so much for good things to come our way. But God said, get acquainted with me. The good things will come without you even praying for them. God said in Deuteronomy 28, if you just obey me and walk in my ways and carry out my instruction, the blessings will pursue you and overtake you. You won't be the one crying all day long and begging God to bless you. God will be the one sending blessings your way. To me, that's another better way of living. Isn't that so? You are not really asking for it, but God is sending it to you as a reward. Why? Because your ways are so pleasing to God that his heart is so stirred toward you to do you good. You know, it's the same thing with us as humans. If somebody goes out of their way to really touch your heart and please you, well, you move your hand to do something for them. Isn't that so? But if somebody always comes to you every time and say, bro, can you give me a fiver there? Bro, can you give me a tenner there? Bro, can you give me a tenner there? They never even ask about your condition. One day you just tell them to cut them off. Because they are not really interested in you. All they want is your hand. And many of us, that's the way we treat God as Christians. We are not really interested in the condition of God's heart. We don't even want to know his heart. We don't want to know what pleases him. Just bless us, God. That's all we're after. Even whether you are grieved or not, that's your problem. Take care of yourself, God. Just bless me. That's all I need. But God is grieved in his heart because I'm not pleasing him. But I'm not listening to him about that. No, don't worry about that. Just bless me, oh God. That's all. But God is saying, but you are not obeying me. You are not obeying me. Your heart is not right toward me. Oh God, forget about my heart. Just bless me. That's how we are. Many of us as Christians. And that's why oftentimes we pray and pray and pray and we get frustrated and we wonder why our prayers are not being answered. Well, like the children of Israel, as Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58, they delighted in seeking after God. They sought him even with fasting and praying and everything they were doing right on the outside. But they were wondering, how come we are doing all these things and God is not even accepting? And God had to send Isaiah to them to tell them, your ways are not right. Even when you fast, you are fasting for strife. You are busy pointing fingers of accusation at others. You are treating the poor with oppression. You are treating the widows with oppression. You are not even looking after the interest of God or the interest of others. You are more concerned about yourself. How do you want me to hear your prayers when you are walking in those ways? So you repent and begin to do my will, and then things will begin to fall into place in your life. That's what God sent Isaiah to tell them. Even your health will spring up faster than you realize. And light will come to you in darkness. And everything will be right. Even before you call, God will say, here I am. Why? Because you are pleasing him. You are well acquainted with him. Okay, so back to Job 22. So when we acquaint ourselves with God, peace will come our way, good things will come our way. And then verse 22 helps us to understand how to go about doing it. So how do we acquaint ourselves with God? It is by spending time in his word, you see. You meditate in the word of God day and night. Spend good time in the word of God and make a choice to live by the word. It's one thing to spend time in the word of God and another thing to do what God is saying to you. Because if you spend time in the word and you don't do it, it's still not profitable. Don't be hearers of the word only, Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, so that you don't end up deceiving yourself. So, if you return to the Almighty, verse 33, thou shalt be built up, thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. Isn't that wonderful? For then thou shalt take thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. So part of the reward that will come your way as you be a friend of God is that you have answered prayers. Remember that God even came to Abraham when he was about to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you ever thought of that? Why would God, the creator of the heaven and earth, come to tell a man before he goes to do something? I mean, isn't that wonderful? But that's to show you how God honors friendship. He said, shall I do anything without telling my friend Abraham? Went to him. Just because of Lot that is in the place. You see the faithfulness of God? You see how your friendship with God can be a source of blessing even to others. Because of Abraham's friendship, God came to him to tell him, I'm going to Sodom where Lot, your cousin, is, and I can't go there and do anything without telling you. And Abraham began to intercede. And God is listening to Abraham. Well, if I find so many there, I will spare the land. If I find so many there, but unfortunately God couldn't find the number. So he just went there and took out Lot and destroyed the place. Hallelujah. Our God is awesome. He's such a good God. So we can position ourselves to be in this kind of condition where we enjoy the very best of God in our lives. So God will be our defense, and we'll have plenty of resources, and we'll pray. God will hear our prayers and answer them. And look at verse 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing. You know, many of us quote this out of context. So many of us go about saying, you're a Christian. You are just decreed. But they are not even acquainted with God. Say to your neighbor, you can't decree anything without being a friend of God. Amen. So it's not something you just do and then you expect to happen. No, it's not going to happen. You will decree and nothing will happen. The decree only works for those who are friends of God. Because when they speak, it is not them speaking, it is God. Because they are in harmony with the will of God, you see. How can you decree something against the will of God and expect it to happen? So you have to be a friend of God. You have to be in harmony with God to decree, and then it will happen, because that's exactly the decree of God himself. You know God. You know his ways. You're not just trying to show off. Thank God for knowledge of the ways of God. That's what we all need as Christians. So thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, you see, this is part of what will happen. That's why, you know, Abraham could intercede for Lot. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and it shall save the humble person just because of you. Because you are a friend of God, God will take care of somebody that is dear to your heart. See the key? Just because you are a friend of God. And then you talk to God as his friend in the behalf of someone else. And God will look after that person for you because you are his friend. There are tremendous blessings that come our way when we really draw close to God to know him and know his ways. We begin to see why Paul in Philippians chapter 3 said that I may know him. This is Paul. This is Paul that encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. Many of us, if we had that kind of encounter, will be the church of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And tell everybody to come to our church. And I'll tell them, well, I met Jesus. I saw his glory. And I heard his voice. Then we'll become rich in one day. Because so many foolish Christians will come and just listen to our story. Instead of saying, well, what do you really have to teach us from the word of God? You're just telling us about yourself meeting Jesus on the road. Well, you know, the account of the encounter on the road to Damascus, if you search the scriptures, Paul just mentioned it in a little place. He spent more time teaching us how to live the life of faith rather than his own personal experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. So the theme of our preaching is not ourselves. It is Christ. We preach Christ, not ourselves, Bible says. So if you are listening to somebody preaching anything other than Christ, you are wasting your time. Say to your neighbor, don't waste your time. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Amen. So we need to be hearing message that will help us develop our lives in Christ. Not listening to person's story. Somebody's story. You don't even know whether they are telling the truth. Were you there? They just tell you big fantasy, and then before you know, they'll take all your money. And they are gone. They are con men. Say to your neighbor, there are many con men today who profess to be ministers of God. Study the Bible for yourself so that you are not fooled. Amen. All right. So, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the highland of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thy hand. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 7 as we begin to round up. You see, as I said a short while ago, we spend much time praying to God and saying, God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, do this. God, help me with this. God, give me this breakthrough here. God, give me. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wants to do all those things. But there is a higher way. There is a higher way of getting our needs met. There is a higher way. God has not called us to come unto Christ and continue to struggle like we were struggling when we didn't know Jesus. He has called us to a higher life in Christ. That's why Paul, who understood all these things in Philippians chapter 3, said, well, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching for the things that are before, I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Say to your neighbor, the calling you have is a high calling, not a low one. You are like an eagle, not an ordinary bird. So you are to soar above the greatest heights in all areas of life. Amen. That's what we are as Christians. Let's have the right mentality about what we are as Christians. We are not ordinary people. We are God's chosen generation. We are God's peculiar people. Bible says we are kings and priests unto God. We are not ordinary people. We are to reign in life by one Jesus Christ, Bible says. So we are to ride upon our high places in him. We are to come up higher in him in all things. And all this come by spending time in the word and in prayer daily. We have to pay the price. And having a willingness of heart to do the will of God and not our own. Because that's what acquainting ourselves with God really means. We want to be in harmony with his will and not our own, just as Jesus, the head of the church, came to give us an example. Even to the point of dying on the cross, he was still saying in the Garden of Gethsemane that, well, God, not my will, but thine be done. If it were possible, let this cup of suffering pass away from me, but I don't want my will, but your own, O God. Some of us would have just left the cup there. We even ask God, just dump it and say, God, well, this is not my own cup. let them carry it themselves. Look at the people I'm even trying to carry the cup for. They don't appreciate what I'm trying to do. Look at how they are messing me up. Just throw the cup. How many of us know that that's what we would have done? Many of us. But thank God for Jesus. He was in harmony with the will of the Father. And so he wasn't thinking about himself. That's why we are Christians today. Mark chapter 7. Let us hear from the mouth of Jesus. If we all can put this right in our lives, every other thing will fall into place. Every other thing will fall into place. Because if we can walk with God in agreement with his will, as Amos chapter 3 verse 3 tells us, then everything is going to be fine, because two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. When we agree with God and God agrees with us, then there is nothing that can be contrary to us, because anything that comes against us comes against God, you see. Whosoever touches us touches the apple of his eyes. And I'm yet to see somebody come against God and remain. God is still a consuming fire. Mark chapter 7, let us read together quickly from verse 14 to 23. And when you get home, I'll encourage you to please study this more closely, meditate in it personally, and let God speak to you deep within your soul and your heart from this passage of scripture. We cannot just fold our hands and say, thank God we are Christians, we are heaven bound. While we are here on earth, God expects us to live in certain ways, because the way you live and the way I live is the fruit that will show who we really are. People will see you in the community, and the fruit they see from your life is what they will use to assess you. Without you telling somebody you're a Christian, when they see the fruit of Christ in you, they will say themselves that you must be a Christian. But if you go about saying you are a Christian and they see the fruit that is not of Christ in you, they will say something is wrong with this one. This can't be a genuine Christian. We are even bound because of faith in Christ. But while we are here, if we are not acquainting ourselves with God, we will do more damage to the cause of Christ than good. For Paul warned the church about some Christians in his days who are like that. Said they are enemies of the cross, the way they are walking. Their fruit is not that of Christ. So actually they are a hindrance to the ways of Christ. And the reason is because they did not understand responsibility. They did not know the ways of God. So they were, at the end of the day, walking against the purpose of God. And they ended up veering off. Because the devil is waiting by the sidelines. If we veer away, the devil will come and get us, of course. Now in Mark chapter 7, let's go and read together. Let's go from verse 14 to 23. Let's go. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house, from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all means? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Powerful stuff. You go home and study it for yourself prayerfully. But what Jesus is saying to us in essence here is that the condition of the heart is the key. Every other thing is nothing. If the heart is not right, then everything else is not right. If the heart is right, then everything else will be right. Why? Because out of the heart are the issues of life. When we guard our hearts with all diligence and ensure that we are doing the will of God from the heart, not religiously, from the head, or to show off, or to make people see that we are doing the right thing, but from the heart. From the heart. Because you see, you can fool people on the outside, the heart can be wrong. But you can't fool God, you see. God knows the heart, and is looking in the heart. I can have all the Bible translations in the world. My Bible may be bigger than that of anybody else. I can even put on holy gown, an holy garment, and walk the streets, attracting attention to myself as a holy bro. But then God looks in the heart, said, that heart stinks. That heart stinks. Now let's turn quickly to what Jesus said further and see how this tie together. In order to do that, we are going to give an example, because this will cover all areas of your life and my life. Now, I have a need. I'm just giving you an hypothetical example. I have a need. I want God to help me. And so, as a Christian, I know that when I have a need, I go to God and pray. That's what the Bible says, isn't that so? So I then go to God because I want God to meet my need. And I know God is El Shaddai. And there is nothing he cannot do. Even the things that are impossible with men, they are possible. I know all that scripture. And I believe all that scripture. And so I go to prayer. I come to church, pray in the service. And then I go home, lock myself in my room, and pray again for God to meet my need. Whatsoever the nature of the need, spiritual, emotional, physical, a need is a need. When you have a need, God says pray. Isn't that so? So every Christian knows that they have to pray. That's why a lot of people go to prayer service. Some people go to night vigil, pray through the night, because they want God to meet their need. But then let us see what Jesus said, in line with the condition of the heart. And this is where we should change ourselves. So I have a need. I'm praying, oh God, meet that need. Because that's what I have a need for. I want God to help me with the need. That's my need. That's what I need help with. But then God is saying to me, but I have a need too. But I'm not listening to God. All I'm concerned with is my own need. God, meet my need. But God is saying, but I, God, your Father, have a need concerning you. But I can't hear God. I shut my ears. God, you meet my need. But God is saying, wait. You meet my own need first. Then I will meet your need. Didn't God say you draw near to him first and then he will draw near? But I'm not listening. Now turn with me quickly to these scriptures as we close. Then you understand what we are saying, because Jesus himself said these words. They are not even things we should, you know, take lightly. Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 5. The heart is the key. If we want to develop acquaintance with God, then our hearts have to be in harmony with Him. Our hearts have to be united with His heart. The two hearts have to be one. That's what it means to really be acquainted with God. It's a heart-to-heart relationship. Because you can't really be friends with God when your heart is far from Him. God said, you know, that's kind of vain worship. If you draw near with your lips, but your heart is far, it is vain. God is not interested in that kind of relationship. He wants heart-to-heart, intimate relationship. Matthew chapter 5, and let us read together verses 23 and 24. Let's go. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Well, why is Jesus saying this? But my business is with God. I want to commune with God. I've come to the house of God. I want to offer my gift or my prayer or anything to God. It's between me and God. But God says, no, it's not like that. It's not just between you and me. It's also between you and the neighbor. Because love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and the neighbor as thyself. Oh God, forget about the neighbor. Let's just talk one-on-one now. Forget about, no, God says, no, I can't do that. I can only talk to you when with the neighbor is okay. If with the neighbor is not okay, I'm not going to listen to you. But we don't listen to that as Christians, do we? If we start listening to that simple counsel of God, things will be better for every one of us in the church. Even Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are mine. Not because you carry Bible or go to church, no. Because you have love one for another. But we don't listen to all that. We don't listen to all that. We don't want anybody to tell us about this kind of responsibility. We just want somebody to just tell us about other things. Oh, tell us how to make more money. Tell us how to invest in big investment and get big harvest. But you see, this is what will bring the best investment into your life. When you're a friend of God, God will bless you. Who blessed Abraham? Did Abraham bless himself by looking for investment bank to put investment in? God made him rich. God blessed him. God even turned heathen kings to give to him. Well, the wealth of the sinners is laid up for the just. God knows how to bring blessings your way beyond your understanding. But you have to pay the price. So Jesus said, well, don't bother trying to offer anything to God because God won't accept it from you. First of all, sort out with the neighbor. And then God will be ready to listen to you. Turn with me also quickly to Matthew chapter 6, while we are still in the book of Matthew. Oh, we need to wake up in the church. God has prepared the very best for us. But we are the ones shortchanging ourselves because we are not listening to God. We are not acquainting ourselves with Him. We are just doing our own thing rather than what God really says we should do. Matthew chapter 6, we all know this very well, but let us look at it. We'll look at verses 12 and 13, but let's pick it from verse 9 so we can get it in context. Let's go. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, Jesus said this in conjunction with prayer. In other words, it goes with prayer. Oh God, I have a need. Just bless me. Oh God, bless me. Give me what I need. Because I trust in you with all my heart. You are more than able to meet that need. You are the Almighty God. You love me, oh God. You will not withhold any good from me. Oh God, you are so good. You are so kind. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, find. He that knocks, it shall be opened. Oh God, I'm thanking you for the provision. I possess it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, hell shall die. My Father, my God. God says, shut up. Shut up. Shut up and listen for a minute. I'm not even listening. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, prekarabakara. Oh, rabababa. Hey, I possess my blood. God says, shut up and listen. Oh, God. Just give it to me. Oh, God. Just meet the need. Oh, I trust you. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. I receive my breakthrough in the name of Jesus. God, stop calling my name in vain. Listen. Oh God, just bless me. I would have done myself a lot of good by just listening. And then God would have spoken to me right there in the place of prayer. Leave the prayer aside for us now. Remember what I said. The heart. Clean your heart. And then I will be able to hear you. Forgive. Because if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And if God hasn't forgiven you, He can't hear your prayer. He doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. The only prayer He hears from sinners is the prayer of repentance, not the prayer of God bless me. You see how we shortchange ourselves? Oh God, meet my need. God says, well, I want you to meet my need too. My need for obedience. My need to do my will and not your own. Finally, Mark chapter 11. See, scripture upon scripture upon scripture. Jesus kept emphasizing this because this is the way of the kingdom. That's why it is important that we understand the ways of God. Not just the acts of God or just talk about things and just quote scriptures and just get religious. Those things don't have power in the spirit. What has power in the spirit is obedience to God. When we really know the ways of God and we willingly submit ourselves to that which God demands of us, then we'll have great power in the spirit. That's the way, really, for us as Christians. Apart from obedience, we really don't have the fruit that will please God in our lives. Mark chapter 11. How many of us love to move mountains? We want to move troubles out of our ways. We want to pray big prayer breakthroughs. God, move the mountain. God says, well, I have the power to move the mountain. The mountain is but a little thing in my sight. But you just do what I tell you to do, and the mountain will be no more, because God will consume the mountain away. Let us read together from verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. Did they say, well, forgive some and then don't forgive some? Forgive those whose sin is little, but those who have big sin, don't forgive those ones. Or forgive them only when they have done certain things. Oh, forgive them only when they come to apologize. How many of us know that we love to put that kind of condition down? Well, I will forgive them if they say sorry. How about if they don't say sorry? Then you die in unforgiveness? And you go to hell because somebody didn't say sorry to you? Oh, Say to your neighbor, forgive unconditionally. That is genuine forgiveness. Amen. You see? If you are waiting for them to say sorry, how about if they never say sorry? And then you die in unforgiveness, you go to hell just because somebody didn't say sorry. Well, whether they say sorry or not, your duty is to obey God. Just forgive them. Forgive them. In other words, what they've done wrong, don't keep it in your heart. Remove it from your heart. Cast it out of your heart. You may forgive people and not really continue in fellowship with them. Forgiveness and fellowship, they are not the same thing. It doesn't mean that you have to say, okay, I've forgiven you, and then you go into the same fellowship again. Well, if God doesn't direct your heart to fellowship with them, let them go their way, you go your way, but your heart is clean. You don't have any grudge in your heart towards them. That's what forgiveness is all about. It's about the heart. The most important message here is the heart, that your heart is clean. Because you want to see God. Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. They are the ones that will see God. So if there is some forgiveness in my heart is not pure, I can't see God. Even in the place of prayer, He can't listen to me just because of that. So I have to make sure that whatsoever somebody has done, as Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, it's like a debt. They owe us. You know, when you've forgiven somebody the debt, you can't keep a record of it anymore. So if you are still keeping a record, you have not forgiven them. If you say, well, you owe me £10, I write it off. So you tear the record. No more. You don't owe me anything anymore. Even if the person comes tomorrow and says, well, you know the temple. No. You don't owe me anymore. I wrote it off. Or you say you're forgiving somebody, then you still talk about the thing all day long. What kind of forgiveness? If you forgive them, then how come you are still saying they owe you? Huh? Say to your neighbor, wake up. Forgiveness is forgiveness. You forgive freely, just as Jesus forgave you freely. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's turn our hearts towards God as we just pray. You see, the greatest need, again, in our lives is for God to get our hearts in harmony with Him. We begin to see why David prayed in Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there, let's turn there and just use that to pray. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If the heart is clean, God Himself will come. You won't need to beg Him to be your friend. Jesus said, both Himself and the Father will come and make their abode with you. Which means they are looking for people whose hearts are genuine. That's the true sacrifice of God. You won't be the one saying, God, come and be my friend. In fact, God Himself will choose you as a friend. And when God is your friend, everything is going to fall in line. So the need of God in our lives is our hearts. We have various needs that we bring before God externally to say, God bless us. But God has an internal need in every one of us to get our hearts in good shape as far as He is concerned. The true heart, the pure heart, the heart that seeks the will of God and not our own. Father, we thank You as we read this promise in Your word prayerfully. Thank You for performing it in us, every one of us in this church, as a point of contact for every believer in You everywhere. We stand in the gap for every saint of God, because these are the last days. These are the days of the revelation of the sons of God. And You said judgment must begin in Your house. And if the righteous be scarcely saved, where will the place of the ungodly be?